Tonight I want to preach on the subject, early in the morning. From Luke chapter 24, verse 1 says, again we read it, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came." You don't need to turn to it, but in John chapter 20, verse 1, talking about that same day, the Bible says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher." So the Gospels tell us that on that first Easter Sunday morning, these ladies who came with spices to anoint the body of Christ came early, came before even the sun came up, and they discovered early in the day that Jesus was resurrected. They discovered early in the day that he was no longer dead. They discovered early in the day that he had done exactly what he had said, that after 3 days he would rise again. You know, I know that not every person is a morning person. I saw a little sign that in a store one time that those of you that are not morning people might appreciate. It was Garfield scowling, you know, Garfield the cat scowling, and underneath it was written, "I am not a morning person." Or maybe it said, "I'm not a morning cat." I can't remember. It said, "I'm not a morning something. I'm not a morning cat." And I know some people don't like to wake up early. They just like to, you know, enjoy your sleep into the day. And I found a verse for you, those of you that don't like to get up early. Proverbs 27, verse 14, the Bible says this, "He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him." Counted a curse to him. Bible tells us that Jesus got up often early in the morning to pray. In John chapter 8, the Bible says, "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them." Mark chapter 1, verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." And it's no surprise to me that Jesus was resurrected before early morning, because I think he was a morning person. I think he enjoyed the early part of the day. And tonight, I want to tell you a little story. I want to tell you what I think happened on the resurrection morning. And that story is my introduction. I have a three-point sermon tonight, and it'll take me about 5 minutes to preach my three-point sermon tonight. But it'll probably take me about 20 minutes to make the introduction. So you won't get out much earlier than normal tonight. But the Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the Calvary, that Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate, and the Bible says besought him that he might take Jesus' body and bury it. Tells us in the book of John, only in the book of John, that Nicodemus came as well, and he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, and together they took the body and wrapped it with those spices, as was the custom in that day to bury people. Now, and I don't want to argue about what I'm about to say, okay? And I don't present it as a way of an argument. I believe that all this happened on Wednesday. And if you celebrate Good Friday, I want you to keep celebrating Good Friday. But I believe that all of this happened on Wednesday. I believe the only way you can get 3 days and three nights, and I believe they were 3 days and three nights, just like I believe that Jonah spent three whole days and three whole nights in the belly of the whale, I believe that Jesus spent three whole nights and three whole days in the belly of the earth. And again, I'm not trying to argue with anybody. I'm not trying to persuade anybody to believe the same way. I'm just telling you that's how I believe. I believe that he was crucified on Wednesday afternoon, and the Jewish day started with the night. So Thursday actually started at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. So they had Thursday night and then Thursday, and then Friday night and then Friday, and then Saturday night and then Saturday. So He was crucified sometime Wednesday afternoon, was in the tomb Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, was in the tomb Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And sometime after sundown on Saturday, when the Sabbath started, It would have been sometime after the Sabbath, after 6 o'clock on Saturday, the start of Sunday, the first day of the week, sometime that night, he arose. And we read it in the Bible, and I hope that when we get to heaven, that God will let us see it. I just hope he'll replay it so that we can see the price that was paid for our salvation. You know, when we think about the crucifixion, I don't think any of us think about how much blood was shed. Every drop. And we see it, you know, as a picture in a Bible, or we see it a picture something someplace else, and we don't see the blood. Every drop was shed. When he was buried, the Jewish religious leaders went to Pilate and said, you know, when he was alive, he told his followers that after 3 days he'd come back to life. We'd like you to post a guard around the tomb and make sure that that doesn't happen. Like man could stop the plan of God. And so they posted a Roman guard around the tomb, but I think somebody else posted a guard. I think Satan posted a guard. And I think he posted the demon of death, and he gave the demon of death very specific instructions and said, this is the most important assignment you've ever had. I don't want you to let this one out of the grave. I want you to do whatever's necessary to keep him dead. So Wednesday night, Jesus is laid in the tomb, actually Thursday night, as the way the Jews kept time. And this demon of death walks guard. Thursday, early, before the sun comes out, I think Satan comes to check, making his rounds. He says, you still got him? Still got him. Still in the tomb. Still there. Satan says, has the demon of corruption been here yet? And the demon of death says, no, not yet. He's not been here yet. Satan said, well, he'll be here pretty soon. Just make sure that he doesn't get out. So Thursday day passes, and then Friday night. And again, before sun up on Friday, Satan comes back. Demon of death is still there. Says, you still got him? He says, well, of course I still got him. So I just want to make sure. So I haven't lost many. I'm sure Satan reminded him, well, what about that child that Elijah raised? Well, yeah, I know about that one. Well, what about that man who touched Elisha's bones? Well, yeah. What about Enoch? He said, in the demon of death. You can't blame me for Enoch. He never even died. Satan said, listen, most important assignment you ever have, don't let him out. Has the demon of corruption been here yet? No, not yet. I haven't seen him. 2 days, he should have been here by now. Not yet. Hadn't been here. So Thursday day passes. The demon continues to walk guard. Friday night passes, early Friday morning. Again, before dawn, Satan comes back, says, still got him? Yep, still got him. Still got him. He ain't going to get out. Don't worry about it. Has the demon of corruption been here yet? No, not yet. Satan said, well, I better check on him. He's late. Should have been here by now. So this goes on. The demon of death walks guard around this tomb. Roman's guards are still there. Satan wants to make sure everything is done to keep Christ dead. He comes early on Sunday morning. Talks to the demon of death. Still got him? Oh yeah, still got him. He's still here. No problem. No, nothing to worry about, boss. Says, has the demon of corruption been here yet? Nope. Hadn't shown. Satan says, I'm going to fire him. I'm going to go in. I'm just going to have to go in and take care of it myself. So he walks into the tomb, and he sees something that makes quivers go up and down his back. Jesus is up. He's over in the side of the little cave folding the napkin that covered his face. And again, there's something special about that napkin. I don't have time to tell you tonight, but it was a sign back in those days when you were eating and you folded your napkin, it means you're coming back. You're not done yet. And Jesus folded that napkin to remind us that he is coming back. He's not done yet. And Satan sees Jesus up folding this napkin, and he says, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going out there." He said, "No, you're not." He said, "Yes, I am. There's nothing you can do to stop me. And by the way, there's something I want from you before I leave." And Satan says, "What's that?" And Jesus says, "I want the keys to death and hell." And Satan says, "No, well, I'm sorry, you're not going to get them. In fact, you're not leaving." And then in my mind, I can see the devil lunging at Jesus. Jesus stepping aside, Satan falling to the floor, and Jesus taking that nail scarf foot and putting it on his head and saying, "You remember what was said in the book of Genesis? It says, you would bruise my heel, but I will bruise your head. I want the keys to death and hell." And he reaches down and takes them and walks out of the tomb alive, defeating death, defeating the grave. That's why Paul could write in the book of Corinthians, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Our victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ." All that happened early in the morning. And you know, the stone was removed not so Jesus could get out. He was already gone. Stone was removed so that we could see in, that man could see in and see that he was gone. All this happened early in the morning. Here's my message. 3 points. It won't take me long. Number one, we need to get saved early in life. Early in life. I look around at the little children that are here tonight, and maybe with the exception of one, all of them know Jesus as their Savior. I look around at the adults. I think most of you are saved, both based on your testimony. But let me tell you tonight, if you're not saved, you need to get saved tonight, right now, tonight. If Reg were here tonight and he wasn't saved, how old are you, Reg? 89. You know what I tell him? I tell him, "Reg, you need to get saved tonight because you're younger now than you're ever going to be. Younger than he's ever going to be. And so all of us, we're younger right now than we're ever going to be again. We need to get saved early. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's standard of goodness. Every single one of us. And I know some good people sitting in this room tonight, but we're all sinners. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Bible says that when Jesus went to Calvary, when he died on this cross, he took every one of our sins and paid the price for our sins. And tonight, if you're not saved, you need to get saved early in life. And there's no earlier time than right now. Right now, you need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. That's simple. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall ask him shall be saved. He'll turn no one away. All that come to him, he'll receive. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we need to get saved early. Number two, we need to serve him early in our life. Early in our life. You know why it's so important for the children to be in church? Because they need to learn serving God. They need to do it from this day forward. They need to do it all their life. And I'll say to the moms and dads and grandparents that bring your children and your grandchildren to church, you're doing the greatest thing in the world for them. Greatest thing in the world for them. They need to see you serving God. And they need to learn to serve God early. It's wonderful when an older person gets saved, and it's wonderful when an older person starts serving God. And there have been many, many wonderful contributions made to the cause of Christ by senior citizens. Praise God for them. But if we can get these little ones, if we can get the little ones saved, and they can follow mom and dad's and grandpa and grandma's example of serving God from the time that they're young, then they'll do great things for God. So they need to serve God early. And then number three, we need to serve him early in the day. Now, I'm not going to define early in the day, because I know some of you don't like to get up very early. But I'm going to encourage you that when you do get up, that you serve God early in the day. Read your Bible early in the day. And again, early for you may be 10 o'clock in the morning. For others here, it may be 5 o'clock in the morning. But early in your day, serve God. Read his word. Pray. Pray. You know, some of you could get up earlier on Sunday and come to Sunday school and serve God. And I invite you to do that early in the day. But serve him early in the day. Those ladies came early in the morning to bring those spices to anoint his body. I've often wondered, they must have not seen Nicodemus, because the Bible says, I think it gives the weight over there in the book of John of how much spice they brought to anoint his body. Probably didn't need any more added. But I was thinking, Ruth Ann's probably like that about the pickup and the van. He wanted them there, so he didn't let them know that the spices were already in the grave cloths. He wanted them there so they could be the first one to see that the grave was empty, so they could go running back and tell everybody else. So they could be the messengers to us through the pages of this book that he's no longer dead. He's risen. He's risen. Doesn't he deserve the early part of our life? Doesn't he deserve the early part of our day? He does. Let's give it to him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the resurrection. As it says, and we studied in Sunday school this morning, if there wasn't any resurrection, then everything else is in vain. It's empty. It doesn't mean anything. We're still lost. But because of the resurrection, because Jesus came out of that tomb, because he defeated death, because he defeated hell, we have the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight that every single person knows for sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven. Father, if there's just one here tonight that doesn't know for sure, would you help them understand they're a sinner and that Jesus paid the price for their sin, and help them to come and ask Jesus to be their Savior? Please, Father, we beg you and ask you, to Holy Spirit, as you do to all of us, to woo them to Christ. I pray for the Christians that are here. If there's something that you want us to do, I pray, Father, that we'd be obedient and we'd do it and we'd serve you early. Bless this time of invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.